So let's open our Bibles and turn to Titus. And I don't need to tell you what chapter, because when you open up the book of Titus, it just is there. You know, there's only a couple chapters, so it'll be, you know, very evident where we're going to go. And so, as always, just reading through the scriptures, doing my devotions, and just God just deposits something inside of me, and I, you know, work on a message around that. There's something I want to share that I feel like I've known for years, and there's something I want to share that I realized I was like, that's a new thought. God doesn't have any of those, but we have those as we look at his word. And so I want to share that new thought with you near the end of the message. But we'll start off first in Titus chapter 2, verse 6. It says, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. So go around and do good so that people won't have anything to call you out on. Now, I am really disappointed over the years, and not in the person, but disappointed that there are, you know, wonderful leaders in the kingdom. And then some things were exposed about them, and I can't use their books, I can't quote them anymore, I can't use their video series anymore because something's come out that, you know, was hidden. And so I want to encourage us as believers. We say, well, that's, you know, all those kind of big name people. Like, you know, if I ever made it big, you know, of course, you know, like we are big in God's eyes. And your life matters. And your decisions matter. And so don't keep anything hidden. If there's anything that you're struggling with, now, don't throw yourself under the bus, though, and think like, oh, last night I had a terrible thought. I'm totally hooped. You know, somebody's going to call me out on that later on in life. No. I'm talking about something that you're seriously doing on a regular basis that's completely outside of God's will, outside of God's word, and you're just like, I don't want to face it. I'll just kind of leave it hidden. That's what I'm talking about here. Don't create any space for that. Look where that's written and where that lands. I love this thought. As they are going about doing good things, people are like, the world's like, I don't like, you know, the enemy is like, I don't like what's happening here. I'm going to find anything I can, any dirt on them. We see that in movies all the time. Anybody got any dirt on this guy? We say it to each other, don't we, almost jokingly, when we interview pastors for different, you know, churches or different communities. We'll say, let's go find their references, not to try and find dirt on them, but to, what kind of people are they? How do they act? What do they do? You know, that kind of stuff. And so, if somebody was to go and look at your stuff, make sure there's nothing hidden. Because you're not hiding it. God knows. I don't need to know. It's none of my business. But God knows. That's what you're accountable to. You're not accountable to me. You're not accountable to this church. You're accountable to God. So let's make sure that we are doing good and that we don't have anything hidden. That was just a piece of information there, a little thought there. As we get to the point that I really want to make here, in verse 11, we'll just kind of continue the story here. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, man, we were almost singing that this morning, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 14 is really what you want to do. You want to highlight that. You want to kind of make a mark on there. You want to crease your page. You want to take a crayon, whatever you want to do. Verse 14, who gave himself for us, oh, thank you, Jesus, to redeem us, brilliant, from all wickedness, that's, oh, I need that, to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager in Jesus' name. Oh, we're eager to do good things. We're eager to do what God's called us to do. That's what kind of fuels you, isn't it, at the end of the day? We think about that for a second, you're thinking, I don't know who I am. I don't know if I have a purpose or what my calling is in life. And then we see right away, God gave himself for you. He redeemed you. He freed you from all wickedness. He purified you because he wants you as his very own so that we could go out and do his good will, his purposes. Isn't that exciting? Doesn't that kind of just get you going? You know, as a coach, you know, I think about an Olympic coach right now. Some of them got canned because they were doing silly things. Again, things that were hidden got exposed. Out of there, Jack, and I'll let you leave on that kind of thought there. But anyways, a good coach would say to him, would they say to their runner or their athlete, like, good luck. May the force be with you. Or, you know, whatever you want to say, like, I'll be over here if you need me. You're like, no, that coach should just be there. Just like, you're the greatest runner that the world has ever. You're going to jump the furthest. You're going to just own this thing. The gold medal is a guarantee because you're the man, right? Well, that's the kind of coach you would have. Otherwise, you'd fire the guy, wouldn't you? And so we've got Jesus in our corner like that. He's just cheering you on every time you wake up. He's like, praise God, you're alive. Let's go. Here we go today. What's up for today? Oh, you get to go to church. That's a double blessing. It's a good day, right? You get to come into the house. So I want you to just be inspired like that. Like, God, what do you want to do today? And, you know, I'm purified. I'm redeemed. Wickedness, sin, it's far behind me because I am His. And I want to do what He's called me to do. I just want to just run after that in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's kind of continue with this thought here. I want to give you a bit of a story about a true story. So I'll just take a few minutes here. Youth often go to big conferences in the lower, you know, down south, we'll say the lower 48s too sometimes. But thousands of youth got together one time, and the guest speaker, this wasn't me, this is a story I heard. The guest speaker challenged the youth. It was a morning service. They said, kids, I know there's a giant mall over there with all kinds of water slides and fun things. You're going to go over there and burn a bunch of money, which is great. I know you came to the conference, but you also came because you know you're going to go spend some money. And he said to them, "Why? I want to challenge you to take some of that money, and I want you to put it in an envelope, and tonight I want you to leave it for the cleaners or the housekeeping or whatever kind of terminology you want to use. So then when they come to clean their room, they're going to be blessed." And so he just said that, and then he just kind of went off. He didn't think much of it and, you know, finished the message. And so the next day, he's staying in the same hotel all the youth are staying in. He gets into the elevator, and there's this cleaner, and she's just, you can tell. You know when somebody's emotional, and you kind of, isn't it, you're kind of heightened, you know, what is your spirit or whatever? You're just like, that's not kind of a normal emotion or a normal feeling. So he just said, you know, are you okay? What's going on here? And she just kind of had like a, you know, smock on. She just had her hands in her smock. She says, you know, I wasn't supposed to work today. My husband just lost his job, and we don't know how we're going to pay the bills. And I got called in today, and I didn't want to come because I knew this conference thing was happening. All these youth in the hotel, it was going to be chaotic. My workload was going to be triple, and I wasn't going to get the same pay. I didn't want to come in today. But she said, I came in today, and look at all this money that these kids gave me. So I have enough to pay my bills. And so this guest speaker, who's not an evangelist, he just said, maybe we could just pray and you just accept Jesus. She's like, I would love to do that, right? Because these Christian youth are just such a blessing to me. Like, that's doing good deeds. That is eager to do good deeds. That's putting like water slides and like, you know those frozen ice creams you can get there? Like all those kind of things above that. Like, I'm going to just invest in people is more of a priority than those things. The Build-A-Bear, like, come on. They just gave that up, you know, those kind of things. It was a big, you know, sacrifice for these youth. So when I hear these kind of stories, I hear them often from you in our church. You know many of these stories. You share them with each other, and you hear of them, you're like, yeah. And so when I heard that story, I was like, we got to do something like that. So every time we were in Whitehorse and we took our bus 35 hours down to Vancouver, one way, 70 hours return, I said, listen, guys, we're on a secret mission. When we get to Vancouver, we're going to find out the cleaner's name. We're going to find out if they're married, if they have kids or whatever. So by the end of our time there, 3 nights usually, we were like, okay, let's get some money. We'll get some flowers. We get gifts for the kids, you know, like Johnny and Susie and all these kind of people. Like, there's the gifts. And we usually take a picture because we've got to have some evidence of this cool thing we did. And then, so the youth just left there. And like, I don't know. I never met them. I don't know. I don't know where it landed. We read, like, you know, God bless you or something. Like, I hope when I get to heaven, this lady's going to be like, thanks. You know, like, I don't know. Like, but who cares? It's fun being a Christian. It's fun being alive. It's fun doing these things. I want to eagerly do these things. I want to just you know, not even hesitate to just think that. Just, oh, I just want to do something good today. I got ideas. I got to come to church. We got pizza movie night tonight. I don't know what God has for me today. It's going to be fun, whatever happens, right? So when things, tires pop and somebody, you know, curses you or something, say, well, praise God, you know. This will be an opportunity for me to respond. And I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. I'm going to show you. It's something, I want to get there so badly, but we got to get this other stuff done first. Okay. So 1 Corinthians, let's go there for a moment. because in 1 Corinthians, I wanted to find, because I think it's important, because sometimes when we hear this word, we see eager to do good deeds. Then we think that every time I see the word eager, it's going to line up the same. But it actually isn't, because when we look at it in the original text, we're in the New Testament, in the original Greek, not every time the word eager shows up. So let's use an example. Jesus eagerly desired to have the supper with his disciples, but it's actually not the same context, so I can't fit that nicely together, because would be a fun thought, but we can't do that. That's false doctrine. That would be incorrect. But what is correct? I want to find you and show you where eager shows up a couple times in the New Testament. It's only used a few times. The same eager that was quoted here in Titus. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I just had to say that so you kind of got a taste. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, we'll start. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. In the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, and second prophets, and third teachers, and workers of miracles, also having gifts of healing. Those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healings, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? But eagerly, here we go, eagerly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you the most excellent way to do that. And so this last week, I was able to facilitate a wedding here. It was just beautiful. I was just encouraged by that. What a blessing. And I would read typically 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, and it was a good way to do a wedding. You wouldn't want to like read Revelation or something at a wedding. That would be kind of awkward, so we kind of land there. But, you know, again, where it's written, there's some context here. We kind of picked up a bit of a story. Desire these things, desire, you know, good gifts. And so if we were to just finish off chapter 13, though, because it's not like chapter 13 is a standalone thing, and just like chapter 13, we just kind of pull that out, and we just talk about love, and we put it back. It's a continuous story here. And so we're being challenged to look for these greater gifts, and we see at the very bottom here in verse 13, easy to remember. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these things is love. So as we eagerly desire to do good to people, we're showing love to people. We're showing that Jesus lives inside of us and that I love you and that I want to show that to you. Because I think sometimes in life we could say, when we read scripture, it says, you know, don't just love people that are lovable and likable and that know you and you know, you kind of socially or economically, you just kind of fit nicely together. Like, even love your enemies. Like, whew, that's a little bit challenging, isn't it? Like, whoa, okay, God, like, you're asking a lot. So we can love people. So I wanted to show you, because it's in the same chapter, just a couple more times where eager shows up. And then we'll get to the point I really wanted to share with you. So in chapter 14, verse 1, so just a little bit further down, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. I really like that emphasis, though, is follow the way of love. That's first. And then we want to add to that a desire for spiritual gifts so that we don't just chase after spiritual gifts. My whole purpose in life is to have this gift, whatever it happens to be you think is in Scripture. Like, that's our calling in life. Well, no, we're to love people and we love God. And then out of that will come spiritual gifts. God will direct you. And in verse 12 of 14, chapter 14, so it is with you, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. Preach it, Pastor, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, just, I had to put that one in there. It happened to be, the word eager is in there too. I didn't just cherry pick that one out, I promise you. But I just love that second thought is to build up the church. Like, the gift that God gave you is there to build up. Now, let's really flesh that out a little bit. The Pentecostal church, the four walls and terrace church. Like, no, the kingdom. To build the kingdom up, wherever that happens to be. If you happen to go to a different church one day, praise God. Go there and be awesome. Go there and say, like, I came from, and so the pastor would go, wow, this is a great member of our church now. Where did you come from? The Pentecostal church. That's awesome. Don't go to a different church one day and move away and be a complete plank. And they go, where did you come from? The Pentecostal church? We wouldn't want that, would we? Like, be awesome. The kingdom needs all kinds of different people in all kinds of different denominations. Let's fill up other churches. Wouldn't that be fun? Don't all leave at once. I'll be hooped. I'll go too. You know, we'll go together. I didn't know where that was going. The board members are like, edit that out quickly, man. Verse 39, quickly. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues. Verse 40, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Love that thought. I really hope that you feel in our church that we are kind of orderly, because I like order. You know, I'm just kind of like a clean, you know, kind of clean up order and straighten up chairs and straighten up stairs, you know, get everything in order. But beyond that, I really hope that you find some safety here. I hope you find some health here. I hope you find that this is a place where you could grow and mature, because it does seem, you know, in some kind of order. I hope you really feel that. If you look at our church motto, I'm working on a sign, I promise, we're getting there. I just really wanted to make sure it was the Lord. So it says love God, love people, love the church. And you would see that over lots of our signage, on our website, this kind of stuff. I really want to flesh that out more. But to love God is, that's what we've been talking about, love. Love God first, have a relationship with God, and then love people. Love our community, love our family, love every coworkers, love everybody you interact with, even love your enemies, and then love the church. And again, please don't misinterpret that. Don't think that, like, if you don't serve in this church, you know, like, you know, something silly like that. Like, serve in the community. That's great. But serve somewhere. Serve and get involved in some capacity. It is such a blessing. There are so many encouraging things for us, actually, just our physical body. I said this the other day. I did a funeral just the other day here. Actually, I didn't do it. I apologize. I opened in prayer, and then I turned it over to the MC, so I didn't really do the funeral. But I said to the people, I said, hey, when you come here, allow yourself to process. Allow yourself to grieve and to mourn and even to cry. And I said jokingly, I said, for crying out loud, the church should be the safest place to cry in, right? Because God gave us those tear ducts for a reason. It's actually healing. It's part of the process that. And so in the same capacity, it actually is a blessing for us to serve and to do good. You know, when you're depressed, if you go see a counselor, they will actually encourage you to do that. Go serve somewhere. Go help somebody else. It's actually part of the process, your healing process. It isn't the only process. But as we do good, it's actually healthy for our bodies. We were designed that way. Isn't that just the coolest thing to think about? When I do that, it actually, not that you want to do it so like, oh, I want to get blessed lots. I'm going to do lots, you know. Not that kind of a heart, but you know that it will bless you if you do that. Yes, we got here. We are there. Let me make sure. Absolutely. Nope, we're going to stop for just a second. We're almost there. Just joking. In the New Testament, when this was written, and we look at the word eager, we find it in different settings. But what was the purpose? Like, what would be some of the ways that, you know, because I communicate a certain way, like some stories or some parables or some images to help you understand what is being said there. So at that time when it was written, what they would historically refer to is this idea of, like, Rome was the governing authority, and it was just like, bow down to Rome and pay your taxes to Caesar and all that kind of stuff. And they were saying, be eager to be different than that. Be eager to start a different group than that. And so that's what they were trying to encourage people to do, like change, because their morals and their values of that day were wicked. And they were saying, we need to live a way that's completely radically different than that. Could it be similar today? I think so. That our morals and values and standards as a society are very polar opposite often to the Word of God. And God is asking us and challenging us, be eager to follow this way and be far from ways that are very opposite to that. Don't just become lukewarm and neutral in those kind of things. And so I love the word for that. It really encourages me to think about that in a deep way, that the morals and values and standards are God's truth, and that's the lens in which we look and the way we operate and the way we function. So, yes, I was appalled. I got ahead of myself there. Now, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm really excited to just kind of talk this out with you. So I got the PowerPoint people working with me. I apologize, I'm going to be a little bit different. So we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I want to go to 15 first, and we'll circle around after. So let's just read that together. So verse 15 says, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give you the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." So, man, I got like a bumper sticker. You got t-shirts, you got all kinds of stuff that say, always be ready to give an answer. I think we even know that, don't we? We could probably even quote that. Tons of us go, I need to be ready. I'm going to be ready, and I'm going to be ready, and I'm going to read, I'm going to get myself ready, and I'm going to be, you know, ready for when that day comes, I'll just be ready. But isn't it wonderful in context where that lands? Because again, we can't just take out one verse and just be like, yay, you know, build a little cabin around that. We actually need to understand where it was written. And this is why when I read this, I was like, yes, wow, that's so good. Thank you, God. And so let's go back just a couple verses. And we're going to see this word eager, which is so awesome. Love this word. It's my new therefore. Verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, thank you, Jesus, we already know that. If we're doing what's right, if we're following God's word, we're following God's commandments, if we're living Christian, even if we do what's right, you are blessed. Even if we're going to suffer, do not fear what they fear. Don't fear what the world fears. We have nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who knows the beginning from the end. There's nothing to be afraid of. We don't fear like the world fears. Don't be frightened. So we see then, we pick up, set Christ apart as Lord, and always be prepared to give an answer. Look at where that lands. Eager to do good. And as you're doing good, people will ask you, and then you have to have an answer. Because I think sometimes we think about that, you know, gotta get ready. You're focused. You're not even thinking about people. You're not even thinking about doing good. You're not even thinking about serving. You're thinking, one day this question is going to come, and I've ironed it out. I'm going to nail it out of the park. And I've got these words, and it's just going to be like sweet. And I'm thinking it's going to be a sunny day when I say this thing. And God's just saying, go around and do good. And people will ask you, why do you do that? And they'll say things like this to you. It's happened to me all the time. This reality. People say, you know what? That person's taking advantage of you. Have you ever heard that one? You're doing good to somebody and saying, that person's never going to give anything in return for that. Absolutely not. That's awesome. I'm going to have somebody over for dinner that can't repay me. Praise the Lord. Because that's what I feel like doing. And they're going to ask you, why would you do that? That is it's not normal is the problem, right? That's what they'll say to you. Say, the rest of the people don't act like that. Why would you act like that? And then you can give them the answer. You can give them the answer for the hope that you have in Christ. Isn't that brilliant? Why didn't I see that before? Why wasn't that so clear to me before? That I was, as I do good, people will ask and I'll be able to give them an answer. So much fun to think about. Love that idea. Final kind of closing couple thoughts and stories here. I read this other story one day when there was two countries at war. And so we it's pretty obvious we can think about many countries that are at war right now. And so we're at the border crossing. There were still supplies going through, you know, maybe fuels or foods or things back and forth. So it wasn't like totally chaotic. So you've got these border patrol guards on either side of the country. I'm in one country, whatever my country happens to be, and somebody else is on the other side. And so sometimes you'd have to interact, you know, near the border, you know, bring your gun with you. But anyways, you're interacting with these people at the border. And one person just kind of happened over here or kind of, you know, like, hey, I thought, did I hear it was your birthday tomorrow? Like to the other country, the other guard. And so he gets the thought, I'm going to make a cake. I guess he's a baker and a machine gunist, you know, or whatever. You know. And so he's like, he makes a cake the next day. He brings it to the border. And he can't cross, but he can say, hey, guys, let's celebrate, you know, this guy's birthday over here. Would that be okay with you? And all of a sudden, there's just this celebration and this happy birthday in the language that probably neither side knew. And they just cut the cake and they shared it and they just had this moment together. Like, is that doing good? Would the other side look at that country and go, why would you do that? We're at odds with you. Why would you do that? Why would you go out of your way? And that guy could say, he gets to give an answer. Isn't that just brilliant? Because you go around sometimes, and we've all tried this, you try and share the gospel with people. And some people are open to it. Some family members are open to it. And some family members, they're not open to it. They want to hear it. But when you do things like that, then people ask you why you do what you do. You can present the gospel in such an easy way. It's God's way. God builds bridges for us. Isn't that just a lot of fun to think through? Hey, I want to share just a closing thought, story with you. Now, you know my heart. When I share stories with you, please, it's not about me, but I do want to share just a little quick story about just something that's happened to me recently. I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm not looking for you to give me something, you know. But I want to share my life. Is that okay? So we'll do that, and then I'll make sure we're clear on what it looks like. So recently, my schedule has just been a little bit fuller than normal. Almi and I have been doing some premarital counseling, did a wedding last week, was part of a funeral yesterday, was preparing for this morning because I really wanted to be prepared. And then all of a sudden I got zonked with like a flu, so this past week I apologize, I'm a little sniffly and a little kind of, you know, Doug's making me sound a lot better than I think I feel. And so I'm very grateful for that. And then I get the phone call as always, like, I'm like, hello, you know, like, you want to go get some sockeye salmon? Yeah, no, you know, like, I was like, part of me was like, that's close to sin to say no to fishing. But anyways, that's, I don't know, trying to find that in here still somewhere, but. Because it's not just fish, like, it's sockeye. It's 4 a day right now. And I'm like, how can I say no to this, right? But I just was like, if I do that, I know I'm going to be terrible for whatever. And so I said no. And so I'm at home, you know, groveling and all my complainingness or whatever, and all of a sudden, knock at the door. I'm, oh, who's this? And somebody drops me off a salmon. And I'm talking about doing good. Now, I'm not talking about doing okay. I'm talking about doing good. Not like, hey, got my 4 salmon. I mistakenly caught a pink that wasn't a sockeye and didn't realize that till later, so you can have the pink. No. Don't do that. Like the choice, the biggest sockeye, you know. Eagerly give that away. You know. Anyways, you know, somebody gave it to me. And like a couple days later, another sockeye arrives. I'm like, I'm going to say no more often. I didn't even have to go fishing. I got sockeye. I'm like, hallelujah, praise Jesus. So again, please don't hear my voice, right? Don't allow this thought to come. You're like, oh, Pastor Rob is so busy. Look, he's exhausted, right? He's so busy, he got sick, or some garbage like that. Or like, he loves sockeye. I need to bring him, I'm going to bring him sockeye. No, please don't hear that in my voice. Go around and do good to all kinds of people. Pastor's okay. Pastor's loved. You guys are super generous. I'm totally blessed. I'm loving what I'm doing here, so don't feel that at all. Go around and do good. Go around and be a blessing. And so that brings us just back to, let's just kind of read that out one more time. So Titus, this verse just really resonates with me. I know 1 Peter was a lot of fun there. It was a good story to think through. You know, go around doing good, which will give you an opportunity to give your testimony, be able to share with people. But verse 14 again says, who gave himself for us. See, Jesus Christ, God, gave himself for us. So that we could be redeemed. Again, nothing that we've done. Don't think, if I go around doing good, then I'll receive this. No, God did this before you even did anything, before you even loved him, before you even served him, before you even followed him, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness. God, I need help to be away from sin and wickedness and to purify for himself a people like you and I that are his very own. You were bought with a price. You are his. He loves you so that we can, in response, be eager to do what God's called us to do in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me pray with you right now. So, God, this morning, we just thank you for the Word of God. What a powerful book it is that just transforms us, radically changes us. And so, Father, if there's any part of us, me as an individual, us as a church, those that are sitting here that are outside of your will or are heading the wrong way, would you redirect us in Jesus' name? Help us to be people that aren't just Christian, that do the right thing, but that actually act and love and show and are an example in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to be a blessing everywhere we go. We want to bless our community. We want to bless our nation. We want to bless our family. We want to bless our friends and our coworkers. And Father, I just, But I'm just sensing that some don't feel that way right now. They don't feel loved. They don't feel like they're blessed, and they feel like they're broken and they're a burden and they've missed the mark. Lord, in Jesus' name, just like we read here, you died for that person. You redeemed them. You set them free. They're free from their wickedness and their sin, and they are purified in Jesus' name. And so receive that this morning. Thank you so much. Amen.